Hey, hey, all you Arizona lovers. This is the Finding Arizona podcast, episode number 392. We are just 8 episodes away from 400. It is so exciting. I hope you guys are enjoying yourselves. Today's episode is with Hopeology. Thank you again to Christina for coming in and sharing her story. And it's an amazing story. She's a writer. She's also a counselor on top of everything else. She wears multiple hats. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode because we're getting and diving deep with her story. And it's a story of perseverance. It's a story of, just like changing habits. Changing things in her life that will ultimately leave her in a better spot than she was in. So we hope that you guys enjoy this episode. I hope that you guys really are encouraged to go into the bio below and check out all of her links, because she's on top of being a writer, on top of being everything else, she is a podcaster. So I hope you guys go check out Hopeology Podcast. That is something that it is. We did this so that I could be on her episode. And I love doing these kind of podcaster to podcaster episodes because it allows me to share my story a little bit more on top of sharing the individual host's story as well. All that saying is, check out her podcast and please stay in touch with us on our podcast at FindingArizonaPodcast.com. We make it easy for you guys to connect with us through social media. That's Finding Arizona Podcast under everything under the sun, social media wise. And if you'd like to send us a line, that's FindingArizonaPodcast@gmail.com. I hope that you guys are challenging yourselves this year as we are challenging ourselves. We actually have a new place of service that you guys can go check out. It is called The Found House. There, you will be able to connect with us and try and work with us on different things. So if you wanted to start your own podcast, or if you wanted to just try out and do some social media things where you wanted to be recorded and have it in a place where you can access and feel comfortable working with a group that is very much in the weeds with you, trying to help you out and making sure that you're doing all the right things to help you gain knowledge, but also help you gain a society, community, whatever you want to call it, behind you to back you in your ideologies and what you believe in. So that being said, go check out Found House and we will hopefully see you in the future connecting with us so that we can connect you to the community. That is all the things that we have in line for you this year and upcoming months. But if you want to just check out things that are just really us and want to connect with us on a personal matter, I encourage you guys to go to youtube.com/FindingArizonaPodcast. There we have a vlog that is family oriented. It is like home movies. I hope you guys are encouraged to go check it out. See how Atlas is getting raised and being a little just kind of encouraging, blossoming young man. And he's just really got a lot of things going on in his life between mom and dad and all the people who live in his life. I hope that you guys enjoy those episodes because Brittany works very hard on making those come to life. And she is very much an editor now on top of being a director, a filmographer, all of that. We really do our best to make sure that those episodes and the vlog are really well put together and show and highlight our family's life. All of that is for you guys to check out, and we hope you are still continuing with us in the podcast realm. So let's just jump right into this episode. This is episode number 392 with Hopeology and Christina. I hope to see you in the future. Kisses, hugs, and belly rubs to our four-legged friends, and I will see you on the next one. Welcome back, everybody, to the Finding Arizona podcast. I'm your host, Jose, and as always, we bring in fantastic guests every week. Today is no difference. I am going to be introducing Christina here. She is the owner of, correct me if I'm wrong, Colibri Counseling and Consulting. She is a licensed therapist on top of a freelance writer. She is a corporate trainer. And on top of all of that, I'm excited to also say she is the host of Hopeology Podcast. So I always say with every episode that we bring in another podcaster, it's going to be a good one because we are podcasters and we know what we're doing. We're pros and we get to do fun things together like this. So welcome, Christina.
Thank you for having me. I don't know if you can call me a pro, but thank you for the compliment.
You have more than 10 episodes. You're a pro. I always say like 10 is the pro status for me. You know how the format works. You know how dialogue and talking works. So it's like I always say it's like if you can manage to keep your head on with 10 episodes under your belt, you're going to be just fine. Fine sailing. It's like riding a bike. It gets easier and easier. And to me, you're a pro. And one of the things we do here at our podcast, just to kind of start it and get it going, is ask origin stories and just how you got started in doing not only the podcast, but also maybe the counseling and therapy side, licensed therapists and all of the things. I mean, from my knowledge and from my like background, it seems like it's always been a part of your world or always been kind of something that's always kind of interest you. So correct me if I'm wrong, just kind of give us your origin story about how this all came to be.
Yes, thank you. So you're right, it has kind of always been part of my story. I was a caregiver for my mother for years, and I'm very open about that because I think caregivers aren't necessarily always uplifted, you know, their, mm-hmm. you know, their story, and they need that support. And that's really important. And so about a decade ago, I decided to go back to school for my graduate degree in counseling. The original idea was to get a doctorate, but then I was highly encouraged just to stick to the master's.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm glad. I'm actually really glad that they encouraged me to do that. And the master's degree was specific for mental health counseling, and mm-hmm. I wanted to work with children, and I still do, but I'm also transitioning to working with parents and caregivers primarily.
Nice.
Because children, you know, need that support, but specifically with the Birth to Five community. And there's just a lot of trauma that can happen within like the Birth to Five age range mm-hmm. that can show up in your adult life, you know? And so I really thought that was a very interesting concept and wanted to focus on the Birth to Five population and their parents. And so I went into, as you know, for my internship was play therapy and with school mm-hmm. And my first job was all Birth to Five.
Nice.
And then I did that for years. I went into crisis counseling more as for skill building because I really feel it's really helpful for a therapist to be very well-rounded in different okay. aspects. And so I did do crisis counseling for a couple of years, which I think was really helpful.
Yeah.
Moved up, you know, the ladder, so to speak, as a supervisor, eventually a director for a little bit. And then I decided to transition to my own practice. Because there's just something very powerful about being your own boss if you are able to do it. Yeah. And that was when I decided I really wanted to focus on caregivers and parents, because I saw a lot of parents, like my clients who were children, their parents had just a lot of anxiety or they're, you know, working really hard, a lot of stress that can transfer to the child sometimes, you know, stress is contagious.
Yeah.
So, so that's kind of my focus with my practice. The other aspects, the podcast and the writing, I love to write. I'm not necessarily the best writer, but I love to just get my ideas out there.
Absolutely.
And so, so I did a blog. It's no longer up anymore, but I did a self-care blog with different self-care ideas.
Nice.
And that's kind of my focus with writing right now. And then the podcast was just, I love to talk to people and hear their stories. And I thought, why not give individuals a platform to share their stories of hope and resilience and inspire others?
Absolutely. So, there's one thing. There's so many different routes we could go here, but I like always going back to the original kind mm-hmm. of where you started from and the caregiving side and just recognizing how much it goes into it and just really showing appreciation towards you and being there for your mother I find it so fascinating that like the emotional, I guess, connection that you have as a child to your, you know, parents, your parental units. There's something so deliberate about, you know, wanting to be there and wanting to make sure that they're in a healthy environment and healthy position. I find myself even more like in that realm nowadays, just because my mom has that kind of, I don't know, they're honing in on what it is more, but they're kind of thinking it's MS. And so it's one of those situations where I, as the eldest son, I just find it, you know, I want to make sure that she's healthy. She's doing the right thing. She's keeping track of her, you know, what she's eating and doing all the proper things that she needs to do to kind of keep a healthy lifestyle and be in a position where she can be independent and just still kind of live her life. So tell me a little bit more about that time with your mom and kind of, you know, was it after her passing that you went into the education side, or was it during her, or is she, you know, during her time and during your, you know, being with her, was there something that you did to want to say, hey, like I need to do something with this, or I have a feeling that I'm going down this route of like being a therapist, being someone who connects with others?
Yeah. So my mom passed a couple years ago. So I was already working as a therapist for quite a while when she did pass. However, I would say, you know, my experience as just caring for my mom in different capacities led me to being a therapist. But then also, like, I was an educator, like I was a preschool teacher for a little bit.
Okay. Nice.
And that was my interest for, that's how my interest for the Birth to Five community started, and also the needs of parents and caregivers, because as a preschool teacher, I often saw parents that were under stress, children that needed early intervention and would thrive, you know, with the early intervention that they, you know, if they were able to get it, you know, they would thrive. And I saw a lot of that.
Yeah.
And so I really wanted to focus on that originally, like I said, it was as a preschool teacher and my experience as one of my mom's caregivers. Mm-hmm. Really did inform that decision. Yeah. So it's like a slow process, you know?
Yeah. I think you have a lot of empathy and a lot of patience being a caregiver and B, just a preschool teacher, and just seeing the needs of the many and the needs of, you know, one individual. You have this kind of really well balanced, like, you know, empathy and patience for these critical moments in life, you know, being sick, being ill. And then on top of that, you know, early on, you know, education with younglings and young ones. Is that common in your family? Is that something that you kind of, you know, stand out as one of the people in your family? Like, you know, can you give us some insight in that portion of it?
That's a good question. I've actually never thought about that. I will say my father had a lot of empathy. He was not a caregiver. He was actually in the film industry.
Oh,
okay. And so I think that's probably the podcasting for myself and the creative writing.
The media side, yeah.
Yes. And so, but he had a lot of compassion and empathy for my mom, not just because they were married, because that's, you know, hopefully an obvious, but just wanting to really place her needs above his, to a detriment, I think, at sometimes. He passed about over a decade ago.
Okay.
And yeah, so my father had a lot of empathy in that way. And my grandmother, one of my grandmothers, was a social worker.
Okay.
And so that inspired me in a way to, you know, go into that realm. But overall, no, I guess I would be unique. I mean, my siblings have a lot of compassion for their mom, obviously, and help out.
Yeah.
But I think me being the eldest daughter, and that's a theme that I've seen a lot. A lot of daughters that are the oldest tend to take on that caregiving responsibility whenever that occurs, whether that's, you know, as your parents get older, just naturally, or if there is a situation in your family where you have to step in as a caregiver prematurely.
Yeah.
it's usually the eldest daughters is what I've noticed. Not always.
Yeah.
But
it's definitely like, to me, when hearing your story and hearing things, you know, about what you've done, it's just, again, it's something that I can kind of hone in, because you can feel it too as well. There's this level of, you know, wanting to be there and wanting to be approachable and have, especially in your podcast too. I mean, I can definitely hear a level of wanting to understand, and you've got some really great episodes that I'd love to, we'll get into that a little bit later. So, you know, you get into the world of therapy. Were you feeling comfortable as you were being educated through this and seeing your, you know, self being more recognized as, you know, your own kind of life story, you know, understanding the whole education side and being you can recognize certain symptoms and things like that. Were you comfortable, like, you know, starting this therapy kind of session on yourself, you know, being educated as well? You know, what was the early years of, you know, your education and even into your early years of actual work?
Yeah, I think a really great therapist is one that works on themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in school, I definitely learned a lot, you know, that has been helpful, and that helped me reflect on my own needs and, you know, my own growth. But it was mainly when I was working in my early years as a therapist, the Birth to Five community, specifically, where I noticed patterns from when I was younger. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, that makes sense. Or, okay, maybe that's why I, you know, X, Y, and Z with anxiety or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I started making these connections through just the exposure of my work. And it's continuous. You know, every day I'm learning something new. Every day there is a challenge or a reflection where I'm like, oh, that might be why this occurred. And then I can also use that in my work with others. So.
Yeah, it's so fascinating that it's like when we get exposed, especially with things that we love doing, you know, mm-hmm. you kind of pull at strings that you didn't, you know, were hidden deep within or just kind of forgotten about. And I can attest to, like, with this podcast, just this yeah. level of, like, you know, finding out more about myself and what I like and what I don't like, and just kind of, you know, pulling at that kind of cord of, like, mm-hmm. conversation and self-reflection, and just really kind of, oh, maybe, you know, this goes all the way back to childhood, or, oh, this goes to this kind of particular moment in my life, and I don't like, you know, things like that. So it's really cool that you, again, understand that they're like a good therapist really does work on one another and or one self, and just kind of has that self-reflection time. And I find that more and more common with therapists. You know, they really do. I feel like it's, you know, you when you talk to a therapist, they have their own therapist sort of deal. It's like they kind of go mm-hmm. through the therapy themselves. So it's just, I find it really cool that if you can help someone, you have to help yourself first.
And that was probably one of the pivoting ideas that led me to really, really focus on writing and starting my blog, which was selfscience.org. I had that for a few years.
Nice.
52 weeks of self-care, because that was the biggest thing I recognized with parents and caregivers, and, you know, my father specifically, where you put your needs aside. Mm-hmm. And you don't work on yourself, you don't take care of yourself. But in the long run, that's not really helpful for the person you're caring for. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to put on your own oxygen mask on first before you can put the oxygen mask on the person you're helping. You know, that's an analogy that a lot of people use.
Yeah.
You know, when you're flying, they recommend that, or they don't recommend, they highly suggest you do that.
Yes.
And yeah, so I wanted to just write about my own experience as much as I can be an open book, but I need to learn to kind of step back and refrain sometimes. But then also, just as a therapist, you know, really stress, like, please take care of yourself and allow others to help you as well. That's that community aspect that's really important as well, that we tend to forget about when we think of self-care. So,
yeah, it's so, like, it's so true in the sense of the analogy. I mean, mm-hmm. you really think about it on the long-term scale. It's like you're really going to do more help when you are at a level to fill, your cup is filled, then you can go ahead and pour into the other people as much as you possibly can on a positive level. And you realize that kind of, well, then your cup will get less full, but that's okay because you know what it takes, or you know when that level is low, that you can go ahead and take the moment to fill it back up and then mm-hmm. pour over again to the next person or to help others and more. So I really do find it, you know, I find myself kind of like going through those analogies that my grandfather and father and other people have kind of brought into my life and really like, oh, that's what that means. And that just comes with life experience, but it's also just fun to kind of like self-reflect and like, oh yeah. So that's more and more common throughout my life and the podcast world that I kind of find myself in. So I also like to ask kind of more minutia things and how, you know, the kind of in the weeds kind of questions I find myself mm-hmm. more fascinated by. Is there something that you do throughout your week that kind of allows you to A, you know, write more or help, you know, do your scheduling? It's like, what are those things that you like to do throughout your week that helps you either stay balanced or stay in line with what you're trying to accomplish with your goals?
Yeah, that sometimes changes, but, you know, as far as I think having that consistency is important. Mm-hmm. And so a couple things is I have one day that I don't see clients, and that's either to catch up with notes, you know, and private practice work,
yeah.
but also depending on that load, you know, I will also work on the podcast mm-hmm. and write. The weekends I do most of my writing or in the morning, and it's not as much as I would like right now. You know, yeah. I'm trying to work up to a schedule where I can write more because I have a couple projects that I'm working on. One that I thought was completed and I told the world prematurely. When I say the world, I mean my three friends.
nice. Hey, sometimes the world is a very small circle of friends, and it's helpful to even be, I think I say this all the time. It's like, as much as we're podcasters, like there are people who listen to you and to us. And so when you put it out into the universe, it's kind of like putting it out into the world, and you're making this declaration of like, I'm going to do this. So that's kind of what we do at the end of this podcast, is like, give us your goals and let us mm-hmm. help you out in that sort of fashion. So, yeah, it's so cool that you're like making sure that you're staying on track with that. And I think I haven't read any of your writings yet, but I'd love to, now that you brought it into like this 52 week, like kind of that concept mm-hmm. format. So it's like, I think you should kind of keep doing that, like with the blogging and just kind of what we do here at our podcast is one of those things of the blog being more of a behind the scenes kind of what we're into, kind of what we're attracts our mm-hmm. thoughts. And as you know, parents being podcasters, being also just individuals who are doing 9-to-5s off of this podcast, like, you know, what that kind of what we're attracted to on that level and what we're doing on a daily basis. So it's like, it's this kind of overall feeding of who we are and what we're trying to do, what we're thinking about in our head. So it is kind of a journal, a personalized journal between two parents and two mm-hmm. A couple that's trying to make this whole thing keep rolling and rolling.
Yes. Yeah. And that's was helpful when I was doing the self-science blog, and I'm transferring that to Medium, mm-hmm. the Medium platform. And I had it all together because I wanted to also publish it. And that's what had to pause for a moment. But the other thing to go back to your question is what I do as far as, you know, making sure that I'm balanced. Mm-hmm. I am really into yoga. I have been for the last few years. And so I've been doing that a few times a week. It's hot yoga, but I don't always do the hot classes. And it's just, it's something for me, and it really puts you in the present, especially the hot classes, because mm-hmm. you're just sweating and hating life.
your brain is there. It's like, this is the moment. Stay here. And so, yeah, I've done a couple of classes that way too. And it's like, but it's also, I'm here in Phoenix. And so it's like one of those situations where it's like, sometimes it's hot because it's not air conditioned. That's the like.
Yeah. See, up here in northern Arizona, it's a little bit easier to do hot yoga. And so, yeah, so that's kind of, you know, how I stay balanced right now and making sure I'm still connected to friends. I'm an extrovert introvert, so I like to get my cup filled with people, but then I need to literally shelter away for a little bit if it's too much.
Same. Yeah, I know. And I find that really interesting about podcasters is like, I think we're all kind of an extrovert introvert where it's like, I think being podcasters, we can get that out where it's the extrovert energy of like, tell me, talk to me, be here, present with me. Let's get into it. And then the editing side, which you and I both do, when we're not doing this, it's like, yeah, that's my time alone. Like, let me just get into it and let me do the editing and just shut everything off. But again, it's like, I love hearing about the personalized stuff because it's helpful. Like you said, it's, you know, you have to focus on you before you can help someone else. And so the yoga is a very big, portion, like it's a good thing to have in your life. I myself find myself doing a lot more running and physical, you know, working out and doing that as my kind of way of bringing it back, bringing it to me and bringing my self care in that format. My wife is more of doing the yoga, doing those classes and doing self care routines where it's like, you know, facials, things like that to help her balance her life and bring back her who she is as a
running as a woman. Is self-care.
Yes, I love. So we'll probably get more into that with your podcast about, you know, when I join you on your podcast, because that's a big thing for me in my life because of who I am culturally and how I grew up in my life. So I will love to get into that on that side. Sticking to this and moving towards more of the podcasts and what you guys have been accomplishing and the episodes, I have to say I listened to Dr. Pauline and Britton, and those were episodes that I'm just like, wow, what? You're just like in the flow of it, and it's really working out. I think that there's a lot of great elements to the episodes, so I encourage people to go check out Hopeology Podcast. But how have you been feeling about your goals with the podcast? How do you feel like it's turning out and the difference between the early episodes and now the later episodes?
Yeah, I think the flow is more natural. How I run my podcast is I do a little research as much as I'm able to.
Yeah.
But it's, I try to make it just very natural. You know, there's really no, like a lot, I don't have like questions that I prepare before, except maybe one or two. So that's becoming more natural. Whereas at the beginning, it was really difficult. You know, I did a lot of pauses and had to edit those out. And just finding people that want to share their story has not been difficult. Yeah. Now, of course, there's a lot of therapists because I am in the mental health community, but my podcast isn't necessarily focused on mental health. It's any stories of hope, healing, and resilience. I'm going to have an episode in the future, someone who talks about surviving really severe skin cancer, for an example.
Wow. Yeah.
My first episode was someone that, you know, was in the foster system and then became a caregiver. And so I really am trying to have that variety, but again, because of my community, it's, you know, probably going to be a lot of mental health informed episodes, which is totally fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm also noticing, again, back to that flow, whereas at the beginning, it probably sounded kind of like I was doing therapy, which I was not. The two, you know, two episodes, they were my friends. They did me a favor. And then as I continue, like I said, it became more of like an interviewer. And you know, it's a passion project. I don't get paid for the podcast. I have like a little link, you know, buy me a coffee.
Nice.
And I like that website because actually I'm addicted to coffee. So I think it's perfect. But besides that, yeah, it's a passion project. Mm-hmm. I don't have sponsors. A lot of the people that are on the podcast that might have something like a business. For an example, the last episode with Britton, he talked about setting goals and financial independence. Yeah. And he shared about his business as well. But that was secondary. You know, yes. Hopefully a lot of the episodes where someone does have a business or a book, it's secondary. And what's important is their story mm-hmm. and how maybe their business or their creative project was inspired by their story.
Yeah.
And so
I feel the exact same way in all formats of, you mm-hmm. know, we have it quite monetized, you know, ourselves. You know, I feel like we're getting closer and closer and we're banging at the
it's
door.
Hard.
It is. No. In all honesty, you know, some of the bigger, you know, podcast people, you know, mm-hmm. they really do make it difficult because but not in the sense of like they're setting the bar essentially. And we have to try and reach that level or we have to try and jump over mm-hmm. it, a sort of deal. But at the same time, I've always been a advocate of doing this grassroots, also being an advocate of like the stories matter. Like,
yes.
you know, it's not yeah. about, you know, trying to win over, you know, whatever it may be, how many mm-hmm. people listen. It's about understanding that each individual has their story and appreciating them for what they are. And like you said, it's their story that comes first and the business or whatever they're trying to, you know, whatever they do now, and they're whatever they're trying to promote sort of deal, mm-hmm. That's secondary. And so I've always been an advocate for that and just trying to get to the root of the business owner rather than trying to get to the root of the business.
Yeah.
So I've always just been appreciative of the individual rather than what they're trying to do or what they've done or what, you know, what the business focuses on. Mm-hmm. And that came from my grandfather. That's one of those okay. things that he kind of was really good about and just who he was as an elder and a storyteller mm-hmm. himself. And so that's one of the things that I kind of advocate for and really understand on a, I guess I would say a rudimentary level. I'm not an expert at it, but I really do love storytelling and love stories and listening to others kind of tell who they are. So that's a big fun part of doing this and getting my extrovert energy out is another part mm-hmm. of it. So let's kind of pivot towards, you know, goals and we're kind of I want to give some time to this kind of who you are and the Hopeology podcast and what you guys are trying to accomplish here. I know from a standpoint of like getting the hope stories and that, but is there overall kind of this, I know for us, we have kind of a yearly thing that we like to accomplish, whether it's reaching a certain episode or trying to do something new or things like that. Is there something like that that stands out for you and Hopeology podcast that you're hoping that are people listening to us can help you yeah. accomplish and put out into the universe?
That's a really good question.
It doesn't have to be anything wild or it doesn't have to be anything that you like, mm-hmm. you know, shooting, just give us something.
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned before, and I have no problem with it. A lot of the interviewees are mental health therapists or mm-hmm. writers, authors, which is great. I love it. I am, you know, looking for additional guests who are just Joe Schmoes on, you know, with
absolutely.
A, maybe, you know, working a 9-to-5 and, you know, they have a story of healing, like physical healing mm-hmm. or a childhood story that they don't mind sharing with the world.
Absolutely.
So that is one goal, is to try and get more variety. Mm-hmm. Because in April will be coming up 1 year, I think, since I started or close, or maybe the summer, the podcast. And then I think the other goal I have is to
write more.
Maybe Well, with the podcast, I mean, separately, yes, have a way to be able to have time to write. Mm-hmm. So that passive income. So it'd be great if the podcast had a passive income. But I really think it would be awesome if one of the stories that I, of any of the guests that I had, you know, became bigger than the episode.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Just inspired others, whatever story that is. And I like I said, my father is in the film industry. So there's some where I'm like, oh, that would make a great indie film.
or documentary.
Yeah. Or documentary. Like, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So I can tell you that it's possible because we've, you know, it's definitely possible. And I'll give you a couple of stories. One being that we've had a journalist who was focusing on a news story here in Phoenix that was about a missing person, and that became its own podcast, and that has stuck into the zeitgeist because they had updates about the actual process of the police, you know, doing their due diligence, and then what happened to the said suspect, and that kind of, you know, it's just been still an ongoing investigation that it's just kind of stuck in the zeitgeist. Another being, there was another, you know, like every episode kind of has an after story. So it's like sticking with the individual and kind of, you know, you'll get a hang of this and it'll come easier as the time goes on, but you know, you'll see them and they'll update you on their life and you're just like, oh wow, that's a cool like after story of what's happened to you and the individual and the business and whatnot. I think off the top of my head, that one stuck out to me. And then there was another one. Oh, so there was a person who dealt with some trauma that came on our episode about his personal trauma is kind of his therapy, where he gets to talk to youngers and individuals on the street. And he really does go out of his way to tell his story to groups of individuals, schools and things of like that. But it all leads up to this kind of what his ultimate goal was his joy, or the first time he laughed after his trauma. He was watching Colbert show, which is the late night with Colbert. So his ultimate goal is to be able to go onto that show and share his story so that it's kind of a full circle moment where it's like this kind of, he laughed because of Colbert. He can't explain why, but it's like, but that also told him that he needed to go out and get these, what he calls his therapy, you know, signatures. So he goes out and tells a story. He asks people to sign his sign. And he's collected all these names and all these other people's stories. And it was really great to kind of hear that and hopefully check in with him down the road of like, how many names do you have now on your signature list? How many stories have you collected? Have you made it to the show? That sort of thing. So it's like, you know, you get really cool episodes that kind of stick out where it's like, this will be so much bigger later down the road. But it's also kind of a pat on the back where it's like, man, I'm really glad I got to talk to that person because it makes me want to do more or want to do something to help them out or, you know, whatever it may be that sticks out for that episode. But yeah, there's been a handful of episodes that really have changed my perspective and changed my life as far as a podcaster and a father and a person of society. So that's, you'll definitely come across it. And I know that someone who deals with what you deal with and what you do for a life business, you'll come across someone that will definitely stick out and change your life and change your whole world.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we are reaching the end here, but I don't want to miss out on an opportunity to have you promote and give you a chance to stand out and do what you need to do. Give us a chance to hear where we can find you online, your social media handles, website, anything under the sun that you would like to promote. The floor is yours, Christina. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you. I'll promote my podcast, obviously, which is Hopeology Podcast. And under Spotify or, you know, those, it's Hopeology, but it's the gray photo because there's another Hopeology.
Yes.
So Hopeology with podcast, and you can find me, hopeologypodcast.com is the website. My Instagram, I only have Instagram for the podcast. That is Hopeology Podcast, or at Hopeology Podcast. I also have a sample work of my writings, which is ChristinaMcKelvey.com. And I'm also on Medium. Yes. And my Instagram for that is writer Christina McKelvey. And I'll post, you know, mental health tips or repost inspiration that I found. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I think you have so many things that you have insight on that should be written down, and give yourself a chance and a pat on the back to do all of these things, so that, again, it's like you're giving back, you're filling up others' cups and giving them hope. And I think you have a really great pair of ears and a pair of just like stories that you can help people really move forward and get a lot of things done and accomplished. And I wish you nothing but the best, Christina. So we do have an out. Yeah, absolutely. No problem. Thank you for coming on board and sharing. I mean, I know we probably just touch the surface, but I hope people will go out and seek Hopeology Podcast and get a little bit more insight on how you do your podcast, who you are as an individual, because I know for a fact it's like podcasters never just take. They also give a little bit, and you have to listen to those episodes to kind of understand the person who's taking in the episodes. So that being said, we do have an outro. You can hear every episode of our podcast at findingarizonapodcast.com. We also are available on all podcast platforms. If you'd like to find us on social media, that's Finding Arizona Podcast on everything, X, Instagram, and YouTube as well. So go check out all of those different links. And last but not least, we always say after every episode, kisses, hugs, and belly rubs to our four-legged friends. We will see you next time, and we will see Christina in the future, I hope. Fingers crossed. And bye-bye, y'all. I think, hold on, where's the pod?